This is Leafs Game Night on TSN 1050 and the Leafs Radio Network. The Leafs live here.
Huberdeau had it poked off his stick. Brought back in, 2-on-1 break. Pass on to Barkov, closing in, scores! The hat trick for Alexander Barkov. And the Florida Panthers win the game in overtime.
Or, as we like to call it, the great escape by the Florida Panthers. 4-3, they win over the Leafs. Monumental third period by the Leafs. And then overtime, the one opportunity, and Barkov completes the hat trick. Gibby, what'd you think?
26 plus minutes.
Wow, that's a night, isn't it?
Unbelievable. You know what? You can just see the panic in Florida, though. Once Toronto got the one, they sat back, and once Toronto had pressure in the offensive zone, Florida was just running around, and they I don't want to say let them back in the game, but Toronto just took over and it tied it up. Obviously, unfortunately, they lose in overtime, but Mitch Marner shifted down to the third line, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Through the course of it, but found a way to score two to tie it up, and good for him. But tough loss.
Leafs 1-2-2 in their last five. The postgame roundtable brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Believe in a Subaru at your local Ontario dealer with a $500 holiday bonus. Subaru, confidence in motion. Back to the BB&T Center we go. Jim Ralph standing by. Ralphie, that was an intriguing third period, to say the least, and the line shuffles certainly worked off, didn't they? Or worked out,
yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah, and even though I know Mike Babcock got some criticism for putting William Nylander in maybe too early in that game against... I believe it was the Red Wings, was it not? His first game back.
Yep.
In the third period, he did the same thing. We started to mix the lines around. In fact, that included benching William Nylander in the third period for the most part, and he was able to do it. So you got to give Babcock credit. But what jumps out at me over this stretch, now you've got the lineup that you've wanted since September. Everybody healthy, Nylander back in the lineup, Matthews back, and you're 0-1-2 in the three games where you've got everybody that you were hoping to have from the start. And I think one of the stats now that jumps out at me is in the last, I believe it's 10 games now, the Leafs have given up three goals or more in eight of them. In Freddie Anderson starts. So Freddie Anderson, to me, who was probably the MVP of the Leafs when Austin Matthews was out of the lineup, it's been a struggle to get those games where you have one or two goals against to win them.
Ralphie, going back to the goaltending, are you surprised kind of that this might have been an opportunity to start Garrett Sparks?
I would say maybe had the Leafs won in Tampa, but I think it puts more pressure on this game where you say we got to go with the guy that gives us the best opportunity.
Yeah.
To get something out of Florida. And had they won tonight, maybe then you say, okay, you throw Sparks in against Jersey. But I don't think Mike Babcock wants to get to the point where there's any kind of, you want to stuff out any kind of losing streak before it can get any kind of momentum.
Yeah.
And, I just think right now that the Leafs goaltending hasn't been bad. Like I said, there was a stretch before this 10-game stretch where Anders given up three or more goals against in 8 of the 10. Before that, in 13 games, 11 out of 13, it was two goals against or less. So that goes to show you the difference in the goals against average. The goaltending hasn't been bad, but I think, to be kind, you could say it's been average over the last 10 or 12 games. And like I said, they wouldn't be where they were without Freddie Anderson in the absence of Austin Matthews, how good he was. But since then, whether it was a game against the Red Wings at home where they were down 4-1 and Garrett Sparks had a tough night, the game of Freddie Anderson had in Boston. Goaltending was certainly the difference in the game in Tampa. For this team to be firing on all cylinders, it really does have to start with a guy in the blue paint.
Well, if you go back over that stretch of games, starting with the return of Nylander against Detroit, Freddie Anderson could be under scrutiny, but if you circled all their best players, they have all struggled during that time, haven't they?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, and then you see, Marner turns it on late, and, when Matthews got back into the lineup, six games back, six goals, 11 points. So, he gave you that jump that you wanted to have. But, some players dropped off. Even Mitch Marner coming into this game had one assist in his last three games. So they're, you know, it's a little bit spread out, but I think you almost took for granted during that stretch that Freddie Anderson was so good. He never seemed to commit, and even on the goal in the third period that made it 3-2 Florida, just the way he reacts to when the shot went in, looked like he was sort of crossed up. Even the second goal, the power play goal, seemed like he was moving to his right before the shot, and he got beat to the left. And when he's on, he seems a lot more grounded in the sense that he's out, he's square, he's set, and everything looks easy. And, you know, when you're struggling, it isn't the case. But Leafs were probably, you know, they played one period and were able to get a point out of it.
Ralph, there's been a lot of talk about the power play, and it was pretty. I thought it was pretty good against Tampa, to be quite honest with you, for the most part. But, you know, that's 0-10 in the last two games now. And tonight it just didn't look like the same power play from the Tampa game. What do you see?
Well, I see the only two guys that really move. And to me, this is where it gets a little easier to read by the opposition, because Gibbies, you know, they're going to sit and go through the Leaf power play on video all the time. You got Marner comes off the right wing boards. You got Morgan Rielly that'll sift back and forth along the blue line and either, you know, try to force it to the left side to Matthews, who will give it back to him, and he'll throw it over to Mitch Marner. And I think what teams are doing now, they're collapsing. There's no threat of a point shot whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because they don't ever seem to be set up where there's a screen on a point shot. They got everybody trying to get off to the side for the backdoor play.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems that if you got Marner coming off the right wing boards, it's just a matter of the sticks are in the lanes. You know, so go ahead and try to force it through. But what I liked about the Florida power play tonight, there was a lot of movement.
Yeah.
You know, you had the defenseman coming down, guys going from one side of the net to behind the net to the backdoor play. And that's the only thing I find with the Leafs, that, you know, it's great if they're able to find that tough lane to get through, and Mitch Marner's got the ability to do it. But when it doesn't work, it just seems that you've got it looks like a table hockey game, where you got everybody sort of in their position, not a lot of movement, and I'm not saying it's easy to defend, because, as you said, it looked very good in Tampa when those passes are getting through, but they're not a team that scores a lot of ugly power play goals.
Yeah, very true.
This was an odd game in that, you know, can you recall that you would see a top line and another team play that much and be that vulnerable in the third, and yet they still pull it out?
Well, I mean, you know, I think they're in a position now, Jim, and they lose Trocheck, which is, you know, a huge loss to the Florida Panthers up front as well, where they're looking and saying, you know what, we're barely in the race to get in. In fact, I think they're 9 points back of Montreal coming in for the final playoff spot. I think you're at the point where you're desperate. You know, I don't think you want to lock it up and say, let's start looking at a lottery pick or anything like that. So I think from a Florida standpoint, you say, you know what, we've got to put something together. And the only way we can compete with what the Leafs are able to throw at you from offensive talent is that we got one line that we're going to do it with.
Yeah, I was actually, Jim and I were talking about that. I thought it was, to be quite honest with you, I thought it was bad management by game management by Bob Bugner for a while there, but it just looked like they were done, because, as you know, sitting on the bench, you know, I thought there was probably three lines of in Florida's side that was playing pretty well for the majority of the game, and all of a sudden, you know, you don't see them anymore, and then he has to throw them out because the top guys are getting burned out. And they get out there and they just panic. It's almost like, I don't want to get scored and I don't want to get scored on. And the one Leaf goal, I mean, they had three opportunities to clear it, and it was almost like, I don't want it. And it ends up with their net. So to me, that's actually breaking down the confidence levels of some of your teams when you're not using them and you're trying to run your dogs too hard.
Yeah, and yet the big dogs came through in overtime, too. You know, when it was...
Yeah, way to shoot that one down, Ralph. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Sorry. Yeah, I wasn't really paying attention to Leanne there.
Well, I mean, the interesting contrast is a year ago when the Leafs went in there, the coach Babcock restructured his entire forward unit to deal with that line, and this was a different approach tonight.
Yeah, and I think the tough part about, from a Leafs standpoint, is through the first 40 minutes... you couldn't really get a read on whether Roberto Luongo was on his game or not.
Yeah.
You know, they never forced him to make... he made the save off Nylander on the breakaway. which was pretty impressive. But there was pressure coming from behind. But Luongo still came up with a big save on the breakaway. Freddie Anderson, you could say, won, you know, shorthanded, made his big save on a breakaway at the same end. Other than that, I don't know if you looked at the goaltenders and said, you know, they one guy stole it over the other. I thought, you know, Marner's tying goal, it was a screen, but Luongo didn't really try to battle through it or look through it. You know, Marner's other one was pretty good, but I don't know if you guys noticed on the replay, it wasn't exactly in the corner. You know, it was like 2 feet, I thought, or a foot and a half inside the post under the crossbar. So it, you know, there were just some goals that you looked at it from a Leaf standpoint that if they would have got more pucks to the net earlier in the game, they might have found themselves in a much better position by the third period.
That Uygar slash, or I guess swing, that missed the linesman, but could have been a catastrophe. Have you ever seen that before?
No, and you know what? It was unfortunate. He was upset because the double minor was for cross-check, and he got and I think they doubled it up. I mean, it wasn't that you know, they thought the one was significant enough to make it a double minor, and they did it once and then nailed again, but it was just a fluke. He gets to the penalty box and swings his stick at the gate, and it bounces off the glass and clips the linesman. So, you know, as much as, you know, he was probably going to get 10 anyway for slamming a stick, it wasn't intentional with the linesman, and I certainly hope this isn't going to be supplemental discipline or anything like that. It was a fluke. You got to be more in control, I guess, of your emotions than that, but this wasn't a deliberate attempt to go after the official, even though I know that's what the call was, abusive official. I don't necessarily think it's something that you say that he targeted anybody or went after him.
Yeah, we saw in a replay here. I don't even think he came close to the linesman, to be quite honest with you, Ralphie. But anyway, it's silly. I mean, that's where you got to control your emotions, like you say. But so where do the Leafs go from here? They go into a third period and he's mixing and matching lines all over the place. Do you think he's going to follow through with that in Jersey, or is he going to go back to the old lines that started tonight?
You know what? I think he's going to go back with the lines that started. I think that there's still a belief, and if it's not going in Jersey in the first period, I think you're going to see him switched right back. I mean, Zach Hyman hasn't played with Austin Matthews for much of the year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This was, and yet, that trio of Nylander, Matthews, and Hyman, I mean, that was two straight years. That was one line that was never really broken up under any circumstance unless, you know, Matthews was out of the lineup injured. So, and we should say as well, I thought William Nylander looked better tonight. You know, he made some great moves offensively. It looks like the skating's coming back, the shot's coming back, and, you know, you hope that that he clips in whether he's playing with Austin Matthews or not.
Well, at least he knows he's got another set of line options, because each one of those lines in their first appearance on the ice generated something.
Yeah, and yet, you know, you look at the Tavares out with Kapanen and Janssen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they score the goal, then the next two lines really didn't do much, and then that line came out again and had a lot of great opportunities.
Ralphie, what did you think of the Kadri line tonight? We were talking about it pregame about, you know, those guys had to... I thought they had to pick it up, to be quite honest with you. And it's not that they were playing bad, but they were working. So what did you see in them tonight? Any well, better?
I mean, Nazem Kadri's had a tough... I mean, it's been a tough, tough stretch where, what, one goal now in his last 15 games. He jumps on the ice early, gets a too many men on the ice call, and...
And then gets spanked and has to go to serve it.
Yeah, and then they... And they score on it.
Yeah.
You know, in the final minutes, so... It's, you know, that's when he had a great stretch in 9 games where he scored 7 goals, and you thought, okay, he's back on pace for another 32-goal season. And, you know, especially I think, you know, when you look at the ineffectiveness of the power play, that's a lot of where you want Nazem Kadri to sort of step up. So you almost wonder from a power play standpoint, does Kadri stay there? They say, look, you know, we're going to move him to the second unit. You know, does Nylander go back on the first unit? There's some interesting possibilities that Mike Babcock has there, but you know, for the Kadri line, it just hasn't been there. And you know, it's, you've always sort of looked at him as the guy that can shut you down but still hurt you.
Yeah.
When he gets the opportunities, and There have been games where he's hit goalposts and things haven't been going in, but there have been games tonight where the opportunities just don't seem to be there.
Ralphie, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Bison.
Take care, Jimmy.
Jim Ralph reporting to us live from the BB&T Center, Sunrise, Florida. That was the Subaru post-game roundtable, post-table round game, whatever. The summary.
You're having a tough night.
Well.
Anyway,
and
kind of like the Leafs.
So well.
They battle back, and then all of a sudden the air is taken out of your sails.
Barkov just scored on me.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Oh, boy. Anyway, you're not going to win hockey games with one period. I mean, you battle back.
I mean, it makes it look good, but the bottom line is the first 40 are the things that stick to the wall, don't they?
Absolutely, and that's what, when we talked about it between periods, Jim, was I was amazed at the intensity that they showed in Tampa and the tempo they played at in Tampa just wasn't there against Florida tonight. And, said that after the game and prior to this game is – I don't want to call it a trap game, but it's a game that would really challenge you as a team mentally, knowing that you're going in against somebody that's been struggling, and you're coming off an unbelievable effort even though you lost, and you think it's just going to happen, and it didn't.
Well, and they get the same experience Tuesday night in New Jersey.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Kadri thing, just before we go to Coach Babcock, the Kadri thing is, I think it's a noteworthy debate point. It has nothing to do with his ability. I think we all understand how good a hockey player he is, but it's about the fit. And I just sense there's an uncomfortable air about what they're asking him to do and what he wants to do.
Well, I think whenever you've been put in a position, especially last year, Tavares wasn't here and he was a second line centerman and he was playing against the top teams and he was given a direct order and responsibility to shut down top lines from the other the opposition, and now he's not being used in that situation. And it may be a pride thing. And when you've been given something and you've excelled at it, and he did a great job for the Leafs last year in that position,
yeah,
that situation, and all of a sudden it's taken away from you and given to somebody else. It hurts. It's a pride thing. It's like, you've been through the battles with this team. You've done what they've asked of you. You've done a great job and excelled at it, and now all of a sudden it's taken out of your hands again. So there is a dynamic there. It'll be interesting to see how it works out. Nothing may be done about it, but there's something just not right with the way he's playing right now. And it's not that he's playing bad. It's just he's a better player than what he's showing right now.
Yeah, and that's the best way to say it. So here is Coach Babcock after the 4-3 loss to the Panthers in overtime.
How do you balance what happened, I guess, in the last 10 to 15 minutes as opposed to what you saw leading up to that that eventually got your team to overtime?
Well, the first two periods weren't good enough. Their specialty teams were better than our specialty teams. Weren't good enough. And then, the third period, obviously, we took over and really got to work. The bottom line is you got to be ready to play every night in the league, and you play lots of games, so some nights you're not. You got to find a way to respond and find a way to win. We got ourselves set up there and just never got it done in the end. Obviously, Barkov was the best player on the ice by 10 miles. Their team was desperate. They hadn't won in a while and played real desperate, and our desperation didn't match our skill level.
Do you feel like it was lacking there on the penalty kill tonight?
Well, I thought the penalty kill, actually, when we went down and when we got to their blue line, we tried toe-dragging someone and then finished the check, so that would probably be part of it. I thought our penalty kill in the first was really good until that last little play, and then they just shot it by us from the half wall. So, to me, that wasn't a scheme thing. They just shot it past us. And then our power play the last couple of games, obviously, looks like the guys are a little frustrated. Take a deep breath. And they're allowed to work hard against you. Take the play that's given. We're not making good decisions right now. But, we had lots of chances in Tampa. We didn't have lots tonight. They clogged it up good. And Barkov won all the faceoffs. We spent a lot of time breaking up.
What'd you think of Brower's hit on Kapanen?
Well, I haven't seen it, so it does me no good to comment on it either. The league will look at it. If it's dirty, I guess that's what they get paid to do.
Can you at least use this comeback as a morale booster for the final game of the road trip?
Well, we're going home. I mean, I don't think morale's low of any means. I think morale's been great. I think we've traded their players real good. We didn't play hard enough. I don't think we have any morale issue whatsoever. I mean, we were down and weren't going to get any points. We found a way to battle back, which is a real positive thing. We actually had to do it twice, which is a real positive thing. What I don't like is that we didn't play hard enough.
Is there a common theme at all, Mike, in 4-5 now, maybe not including the loss Thursday because you guys didn't play well, but is there anything you're seeing at least in this last little spate?
Well,
game by game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... I didn't... I can't tell you the answer to that. I don't sit here and come walk out to listen and say, geez, yeah, the wheels are off here. I don't see that at all. Weren't good enough. That's it. Didn't play hard enough.
Like before the game, Ron Hainsey was here saying, you know, the penalty kill is kind of average right now, and he'd like it to be better. I mean, what has to happen for it to be better?
Well, 200-foot clears face-offs and just sticking to the scheme. But I don't disagree with him. It hasn't been as good as it was. It was on fire, and then hasn't been as good. And so we're just have to get back at it. But I think you go through ebbs and flows each year, and let's just keep steady on the rudder, and let's just keep going and find ways to improve. But tonight and in Tampa, their penalty kill, was unbelievable in Tampa. We gave up the one shot, and they scored. And then tonight, I thought the same thing on that first one's a gift. Drive me crazy. Anyway, see you guys.
Coach Babcock, after the 4-3 loss in overtime, I mean, really, when you go over their last five games, the 1-2-2 record, this is a team that just got back, two high-powered players, one had been out a month and one had been out all season. And this is a recast of the forward unit, isn't it?
Well, it is, and the he's still trying to find out what's going to mix now because they had to find a spot for Willie Nylander. So before William Nylander came back, this team was playing pretty good. And I'm not saying it's all William Nylander at all, but when a new dynamic like that comes in and guys are moved from Connor Brown from third line to fourth line and then up to the first, and then Hyman comes back and he's back to the fourth, and then, you know, Willie Nylander's kind of put in there, it's a dynamic that has to be sorted out over time, and it will be sorted out.
Sure.
And not a long time. It's gonna correct itself. But it is something that the players inside that dressing room have to deal with. And, Matthews hasn't been himself, I don't think, or he's not back to where he needs to be. Nylander definitely is not there, but yet both those guys are on the power play. Nylander the second, Matthews the first, which is fine. But it takes time for those two guys to get back into the game. But meanwhile, now it's two lines that have to make adjustments because he's coming back. They're shifting guys here and here. Nylander's coming back. Now he's up there, and now he's shifted to another one. So everybody has to move around. So the chemistry that they built before those two guys got back has disappeared.
It's gone.
Absolutely.
And while you're going through the people who have to adjust, Kadri and Brown have to understand that they're going to be required less, but that doesn't mean they're not important. They are. They just have to sort of reconfigure their contribution, too.
Absolutely, and they're going to have to find a way to be better and be the best at what their responsibilities are. And, you know, it's killing penalties for Connor Brown, and it's playing 5-on-5 and being solid at both ends of the ice. And for Kadri, Jimmy Ralph was saying he's got to start to do something on the power play, and if it's not going to work there, then maybe you shift him to a different one and put somebody else in there. But, you know, he's not killing penalties anymore. I think last year Nazem Kadri was killing penalties, so it's another responsibility taken away from him that he has to make an adjustment to. And I said it earlier, like, life isn't fair and the game isn't fair, but if you want to be good and a big part of a team or an organization, you're going to have to find a way to be good at what your responsibility is and bring it every night.
Another life lesson. You don't deal with what's gone. You deal with what's left and figure out how to make that work.
Absolutely. There's no two ways about it.
Well, that's a challenge for the Leafs going forward. Tuesday in New Jersey and then home for 3. Panthers, Rangers, and Red Wings going into the Christmas break. And we'll explain all of that shortly. 4-3, Florida wins over the Leafs in overtime. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, the TSN and iHeart Radio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network.
Riley on the right side for Marner, and the pass scores! Okay, I was wrong. I thought it was a pass, but it went right into the top corner, and Mitch Marner has tied the game with 1:39 to play.
Things looking good at that point, and they looked pretty good in overtime until Barkov got the puck and scored.
Yep.
Let's go over the line shifting. So for the third period, Matthews between Nylander and Hyman, which is a return to the scene from last year. Tavares between Kapanen and Johnsson, which is where Matthews was in the first two periods. And Kadri between Marner and Marleau. What do you think about all that? I mean, it looked pretty good, didn't it?
It did, until he sat William Nylander and started fooling around a bit there. But, yeah, I mean, he was in those positions. The first 40 minutes, you know, the players will put you in a position where you have to make decisions, and that's exactly what Mike Babcock had to do. He had to find something that possibly would create some chemistry. And early in the period, they did. And then, you know, Mitch Marner took the penalty, kind of took a little bit of the steam away. But they battled back, and he stuck with what he put together in the third there, and they found a way to get back and get a point in the game. But unfortunately, like we said, you're not going to be able to play 20 minutes every night and expect to win hockey games.
Now, they sat Nylander at some point, but he did get 7 minutes in the third period.
Yeah.
He did get 10 shifts. So, I mean, he did see some action.
A little bit, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
no question.
Well, Marner was the big gun. He got 2 goals. He played 20-50 tonight, and here's what he said post-game.
Hard-fought game. How do you make all of it as it ended, and what you guys had to do to get back into it?
Yeah, I think the first wasn't how we wanted it to be. We didn't come out skating. I think the second, we kind of amped it up a little bit throughout the end. But, I mean, the third, I think we started doing what we wanted to, getting the puck in and getting on their D, and something we had to do consistently for 60 minutes.
Was there something said there in the second intermission that kind of got you guys going?
I mean, I think just as a group, we knew we weren't playing well and we needed to be a lot better. And like I said, I think we knew that we needed to get the pucks in more and challenge the D a little bit and turn them. I think we did that in the third, and that's why we were successful.
How much of this game rested on the special teams, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they scored on their power plays. We had to be better on ours. Tonight wasn't good enough. Something that we just got to watch, got to be a lot better at, and something we can always improve on.
Just simply they collapsing down low in the slot, Mitch.
On the power play?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I thought we had a couple good looks, a couple bounces that didn't go our way. But, I mean, I think, you know, from my standpoint, I got to get more shots to that net. I think we got to move the puck better. We got to move our feet a little more in O-zone and try and make it harder on their team. But, like I said, it's all something we can improve on and something we can get better at.
What makes Barkov such a dangerous player?
He's got a lot of skills. He's got a lot of moves in his basket. You know, he's a deadly player out there. He played both sides of that puck really well as well. So, you know, we knew that going into the game. He got open twice and didn't miss him.
Mitch Marner after the 4-3 loss in Florida in overtime. Ice time, Barkov never left the ice. Played 27:42. That's ridiculous.
Isn't that scary for a forward?
That's high for a defenseman.
That's unbelievable. That's almost half a game.
I mean, how do you do that?
Well, obviously he found a way to do it. He must be drinking a lot of Powerade or whatever they call the stuff that they got, but drinking a lot of coffee and tea between periods.
I was going to say, that's a lot of coffee.
I mean, that's those numbers right there are a four period game, like a playoff game that you play a full 20. I mean, you're going to reach those numbers. But for oh my gosh, for 60-minute game and your centerman plays half. And he's out there for all, pretty much, I would think, pretty close to every defensive zone faceoff. 5-on-5 penalty kill,
yeah,
all that stuff.
Shorthanded, he played 5-14, power play, played 2-0-1.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's unbelievable.
You know, Morgan Riley played 27-12, and Aaron Ekblad played 27-14. He played more than the top defenseman. I mean, you will see defensemen pushed from 25 to 30. Most forwards bail out after 20, don't they?
Yeah, I mean,
Tavares tonight played 21-10.
Yeah, and I mean, but you can see maybe he was wearing down a bit near the end of the game,
except,
a little bit.
Except for he got the goal.
Yeah.
He didn't wear down on the last shot.
No, but
I know what you're saying, though. They all look like that.
Yeah, usually when guys start getting up and logging those minutes, especially forwards, they're not playing at a high pace, which means they're pacing themselves. So
sure.
You could be out there for 35, 40 seconds. You could be floating for 20 of that 35.
Well, and true enough, if you go back 35, 40 years, you'll see guys that played two-minute shifts.
Yeah.
Oh, and they would laugh at this, but it wasn't exactly at top speed.
Well, it was a thinker's game back then.
But everybody played 2 minutes, so the pace of the game gradually wore down.
That was my game, 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't want
to. Way to go. You just wanted to go down that road, didn't you? Appreciate it.
Yeah, sorry about that, Gibby. Oh, well. But 27.
Yeah, that's a lot.
42.
That's asking a lot of a forward. That's, holy smokes.
That's a burnout, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's funny that he didn't start to slow down. I mean, I shouldn't say that, because there were some shifts there when he was on, and he could hardly make it back into his zone.
Yeah.
So you could see he was starting to get the burn, and there's no way he was going to overcome it at that point, because you just can't, you can't rehydrate and get the electrolytes back into your body fast enough to be able to play that minute, that many minutes at a high tempo, 200 feet.
So the Leafs are definitely in a reconfiguration because everybody's there for the first time. How long do you think this goes on for?
It could go on for another week or two. I think, depending if he's going to keep the lines together or what the lines are going to be, these guys are going to have to start, you know, remaking that chemistry that was there before Matthews came back and Nylander came back. And, you know, there's going to be some unhappy campers, but get over it, you know, and move on. But they've got to start finding some chemistry with some lines because they look a little choppy right now.
I kind of like the mix them all up because, in my opinion, you tell me if I'm wrong, if the coach does that, it forces you to find your chemistry fast because, obviously, the game situation is not good.
Hey, plan for Mike Keenan and guys like that. Your lines were changing every 5 minutes if things weren't going right, so you had to find a way. And what it really does is it just makes the players bring to the table what they do best. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, well, you stop thinking, right?
You stop thinking and you just play.
And obviously, if you're losing, we have to get this done because, we've lost a couple games here. So that doesn't feel good either. I kind of like it. And you know, quite frankly, in a playoff series, it doesn't matter who you play with as long as you win.
Absolutely. Whatever's working, you're going to stick with. And, you know, it is an eye-opener. It's a wake-up call. It's a kick in the backside when a coach has to go and do that to all of his lines. And, you know, they're going to get through this. It's just a bump in the road, a little bit of adversity, and see how they respond. You know, they're not going to mope. They got to find a way to work harder. And coming out against Jersey, you know, hearing those words from your coach that we just didn't work hard enough, you better work hard enough against Jersey on Tuesday, or else there could be some things happening. And I don't mean trades. I just mean it's not going to be a pretty dressing room to be around.
For the longest time, it looked like the Leafs might get shut out in Florida, a team that has the 27th best goals against average in the league, and it took John Tavares to get on the board at 10:24 of period number three before the Leafs had a sniff. That was his 20th of the season, and here's what he had to say post game.
I guess John Prescott indicated they were going to collapse, muck things up. What did you guys do, at least in that third period, to get back into the game before it ended the way it did?
Yeah, we finally got some rhythm. We just seem a little flat tonight, and those are going to happen sometimes, and you just got to find a way to kind of get yourself going and keep yourself alive. And, you know, unfortunately, we didn't win the special teams battle, and I think that was a big part of it today because it wasn't much 5-on-5, and, you know, a lot of the third, obviously, we made a good push and made a lot of good plays, and just a couple of mistakes ended up costing us. But, it's just, you know, you'd like to be on the better side of the special teams, and, you know, it's just kind of the way it's going for us right now. We just got to keep working and find a way to turn the tide.
Is something you can identify with the power play again, just not being able to get the pucks in?
Yeah, we just didn't seem sharp. Execution wasn't very good, and you know, they blocked a lot of shots. They clogged it up in the middle, and you know, we know teams are pre-scouting and kind of sense what we're doing, and obviously we're trying to make adjustments, but at the same time you're not trying to do too much either. I think you don't want to get too much makes you successful, and you know, it's just finding that right balance. And you know, sometimes that's kind of the way it goes. It doesn't bounce your way, and other times they just seem like everything's kind of bouncing your way. So we just got to stay with it and find a way to obviously generate some results from that to, you know, give us a better chance in some of these games.
How would you describe the challenge Barkov brings both offensively and defensively?
Yeah, I mean, he's probably doesn't get enough recognition around the league for how good he is. You know, he's just a really steady, smart two-way guy. You know, him and Kopitar really remind me of the same type of player. So, you know, he's strong, he's big, he's smooth, reads the play well, and he's got great poise. And, you know, it's a guy you got to be aware of out there.
Is it safe to say you guys were a little fatigued considering this long road trip?
I mean, whatever it is, everyone goes through it. It's a 82-game schedule for everybody, and there's no excuse on that part. There's going to be nights you feel great, and there's going to be nights you don't feel as good, but that doesn't mean we don't believe in ourselves to get the results and play the way we need to play. So overall, it came down to a couple plays and special teams.
Thank you. Yeah.
John Tavares, after the 4-3 loss in Sunrise against the Florida Panthers in overtime, blocked shots. Florida had 22.
They had 22 blocked shots, but they also had 25 giveaways, and the Leafs only had 8.
That was Captain Generosity on display in Sunrise.
Oh, yeah. Here, take it. I don't want it.
Well, I mean, so that creates the blocked shots.
They better. That's just panic.
Yeah, so somebody in that dressing room is going, oh, no, it's only -3. We gave it away 25 times. We blocked 22 of them.
Well,
the three are the goals. There you go. There's your story.
Well, the one shift there in the third period when Leafs were pressing, Florida had three or four opportunities, full control of the puck, three or four opportunities to get it out of the zone. They turned it over, and it finally ended up in their net. So, I mean, that to me is panic. It's just it's lack of confidence on taking control of the situation as a player and getting the job done. It's, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it.
They were swimming. I mean, if the Leafs had another minute here, this game would not have gotten to overtime.
Quite possibly. Quite possibly.
But it did, and Florida won 4-3. When we come back, Freddie Anderson will speak. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, the TSN and iHeart Radio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network.
Feed your Leafs need with Leafs Lunch and Andy Petrillo every weekday from 11 to 1, only on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Leafs game night. Jim Taddy, Greg Gilbert in studio. 4-3. The Florida Panthers prevail over the Leafs in overtime. Barkov gets the winning goal. He gets three of the four goals by the Panthers and has 14 in the season. Marner with two has eight snaps. A scoring drought. He'd been Mr. Assist, but now he's getting the puck in the net and had opportunity to solve this issue, but didn't get it done. So eight goals for him on the season. And let's get to Freddie Anderson. I don't think this guy can win when they're winning. Oh, they rely on him too much. He's too good. And when they lose, well, he wasn't good enough. Huh?
No, I don't think that was the situation at all. I thought he was okay tonight. And, the backdoor play, that double seam that on the first power play goal, there's no way most goalies are going to save that. So you can discount that one. The wrist shot, Barkov's wrist shot, I mean, the go-ahead goal, the 3-2 goal.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a perfect spot. That's where everybody should be shooting.
Sure.
Outside of shooting beside their ears and over their shoulders, that's the best spot. Stick side, there's a little V there over the pad, under the stick, under the blocker, and it's one of the hardest places for a goalie to make a save. So I don't think he was bad. I don't think you can blame him for much. I just didn't like the play in front of him.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not one player, it's collective.
Absolutely. I mean, he's a part of a team, there's no question about it, but the guys in front of him haven't been very good outside of the other night where there's maybe one, possibly two that he wanted back against Tampa, but he's going to have those nights. But tonight was just, I didn't really think they were very good in front of him, to be honest with you.
Agreed. He stopped 29 of 33, and here's what he offered up post-game.
You've been asking some of the forwards their perspective of Barkov and what he brings to a game as a goaltender. What makes him so difficult to defend against, Fred?
I mean, he had an empty net on that first one, but very opportunistic. He plays a lot of minutes for them, and he's a great player.
Pretty mean. What penalty kill obviously hasn't been as good as it probably could be. What are you seeing on that?
I see a lot of good things. I think I don't know. I think we got to keep working at it, keep improving at it. But I think a lot of it is clear. So I think we got to be communicating better, and I think that's what we are successful with. I think we did a really good job early on, and then they scored that late goal. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't going our way. That another good shot from Huberto, I think.
John thought maybe the team was a bit flat tonight. Was that your perspective as well?
I don't know. I think I don't know what they felt, but yeah, I mean, they thought we definitely had our better period in the third and came back and got ourselves a point. So.
I mean, when you go back over it, what do they do in the third? And, of course, Florida was tired, but they took it to the Panthers, which is what they should have done right from the start. That's who they are, right?
Absolutely, Jim. Right from the start, drop of the puck. Carry that intensity and that focus that you had in the previous game in Tampa into Florida tonight, and they're walking out of here with 2 points. But, you know, you have to give Florida credit. They did a good job clogging everything up early for two periods, and then by the time they were spent, the Leafs, you know, put things together in the third period and found a way to get a point. But, you know, it's interesting to hear the goalie's perspective whenever the question was asked about, what do you think the guys felt? And he says, I don't know what they felt. I don't know what they felt. He's probably saying
guys.
I really couldn't give a darn. You know, I don't know how they felt. It's obviously they weren't good. They weren't terrible. They just weren't. They weren't the same team that played against Tampa. That's for sure.
What would concern me, and I don't know that it's deep concern, but I think that, you know, what we're talking about here is predictable. When we go back to the multi-layered pregame show that we did, talking about clogging the neutral zone, mm-hmm. which is what Detroit did, which is what any team that doesn't have the talent of the Leafs would do to the Leafs. I mean, we could see that a mile away. I'm sure the team can, but it doesn't seem to be able to cope with it until it's almost too late, as was the case against Detroit as well.
No, absolutely, and that's the part of the big game plan against Toronto was slow down their speed, and they want to wheel and deal. They don't want to get into a physical game. They want to have their own ice. They want to have open ice where they can wheel and deal and do their plays. And when teams are up in their face and taking away the time and space and have good sticks, Leafs start to get a little bit frustrated. And you know, if Florida hadn't have been so tired in the third period. Starting the third period, it might have been a much different outcome. Leafs may not have scored, but you know, they found a way and started to impose their will on Florida. But every team Toronto's going to face from now on in, they're going to see it Tuesday against Jersey. There's no two ways about it, and they'll see it at home whenever they come home to play their games. It's just part of the plan.
I know, but as you map that out, they want to have ice, but nobody's going to give you the ice.
You're right. They're going to have to find it. They're going to have to find an answer to getting through that, because they're going to face it every night that they play now. So if they're going to keep doing the same things and turning pucks over in bad areas, and it wasn't so much that, but if they're going to start to get frustrated every night that they're facing the same system that's slowing them down, that's insanity. Because unless you change something and find a way to get over the hump or through the problem, it's going to be tough on them, and it's going to wear them down over the course of the season. Knowing that every night, you know, people are going to be in our face.
So how do they do that? How do they fight through that?
Well, I mentioned it earlier. They've got to start coming up the ice in five-man units. You know, shorter passes, faster passes, move it quicker, not stick-handling one guy carrying it out and stick-handling through three people, because the other four players in the ice are standing still going, what's going on? What's he doing? Because I have no idea. But when they come back and they come out as a group of five and they're everybody's touching the puck, they're moving their feet, it's getting moved quick, that's when you can create speed. And really, I shouldn't say nothing can slow that down, but then your options will open up after that. I mean, you know, nobody wants to do it anymore, but get the red line, dump it in and get into a forecheck. Push the back end of the opposition off, create some space, get them cheating back off the lines to retrieve pucks, and all of a sudden you have room to make plays just inside the blue line.
Well, it's a classic breakdown. When you don't get your way, you go solo as opposed to collective, and collective is the answer.
Well, and that's what I said before,
yep.
Before the game. Yep. They're going to face this, and what happens is they get frustrated. When they get frustrated, then the individualism starts to come out in the game, and when one guy's stick-handling and trying to do it all himself, four other guys on the ice with him have no idea what's going to happen.
Huberdeau had it poked off his stick. Brought back in, 2-on-1 break. Pass on to Barkov, closing in, scores! The hat trick for Alexander Barkov. And the Florida Panthers win the game in overtime.
Yes, that would be the TSN Turning Point, brought to you by Oil Changers. Change your oil in 9 minutes or less. No appointment needed. Visit oilchangers.ca. Overtime, I mean, anything can happen there. I wouldn't take an overtime loss literally. It's just you got your point.
You got your point, but you know, it's games like this where you look back and especially late in the season, and you know, Bill Waters has talked about it. This could be one point that, if they had played well against a team that's struggling, could cost them from moving up and putting themselves in a better position. Come the end of the season for the rankings and the slots for the first round of the playoffs. So little things like this you always look back at. But, yeah, they got the point. They've got to be happy with battling back and the way they played in the third. But it's the 60 minutes that is a concern.
Barkov with three, has 14 on the season, his first career hat trick. And he talked about it after the game.
I still probably can't believe it's been like 10 years since my last hat trick, and I kind of forgot how it feels, and maybe we'll realize later what happened.
On the game winner, you took your time and you were patient. Did you know you had that much time to do kind of what you wanted to do?
I knew I have a time, but like I was going to shoot it, then I realized I'm not going to score if I shoot it, and I just thought I'm going to deke and fortunately went in.
Like you mentioned, needing a bounce-back game after a tough road trip. What can you build on from this one tonight?
Yeah, we've been like a couple times. We've been beating pretty good teams, and the next games haven't been that good, so we need to make sure that next game we're going to come hard and play the same way we played against Toronto, because they're probably one of the best teams in the league right now, and really good offense, good defense, good goalie, and we won, so we need to build on this and should feel confident right now.
The power play's been so great since November 1, but the wins haven't really been there. Are you surprised about that, and do you feel like it can still translate into a lot of wins down the road?
Yeah, I mean, power play goals are always huge, and I mean, they can win us games, they can lose us games, and our PK was good today, and yeah, I mean, 5-on-5, we need to score more. Like, it's, I don't know what the stats are, but we all realize that we need to score more on 5-on-5, and that's what we're going to work on.
Jace Horwick called you a legend.
He's a legend, in my opinion, too.
Oh, yeah, have some laughs after you get the hat trick. Wow.
Well, he deserves it. I'm surprised he wasn't having a nap there on the trainer's table after the 27-plus. So, yeah, heck of a player.
So the Leafs will head home tonight, and I would assume a day off tomorrow, and I would assume a practice on Monday, and then off to New Jersey later Monday to play Tuesday night. What works for me is I don't like the last five games as a sample size of 1-2-2, but in the next week they play four times in six nights, and that might tighten everything up.
Yeah, that's a grind right before the Christmas break, and then I think they have what do they got? They got 5 days off after the 23rd, so. It's going to be a grind coming up this week. They got a lot of work ahead of them.
And three of them at home, which can be troublesome at this time of the season, but we'll let the games speak for themselves. We can do a rip through the out-of-town scoreboard and figure out what happened in some of these other games. Washington got by Buffalo by a score of 4-3. Ovi scored in the shootout. He did score in regulation, has 29 on the season. Eichel had a pair and has 12 on the season for Buffalo. Washington wins 4-3. In a shootout, Pittsburgh 4-3 over the Kings. Kessel gets the game-winning goal in overtime. Next stop will be Montreal, where the Habs blasted Ottawa by a score of 5-2. Let's see who got. Drouin got a goal. Weber got a goal as well. Kotkaniemi got his fourth. The young kid looks pretty good.
He does. He's a very, very smart player, and I think he's answered all the questions from a lot of the pundits that were thinking he'd probably be better off going back home and playing.
Detroit was visiting the Islanders, and New York won it 4-3. This game was decided in a shootout. Detroit was outshot 48-21. Wow.
It's a busy night.
Yep. Calgary 2-1 over Minnesota. That was earlier today. And in stuff still going on as we mumble, we have the Ducks winning 2-1 in overtime over Columbus. Jersey and Nashville are tied at 1 in the third. In the second, Colorado 3-2 over Dallas. And in the first, very late stages of Vancouver 3-1 over Philadelphia.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Maybe something happened in there.
Well, some teams have dumped their coach and aren't doing so well, and some teams have dumped their general manager and aren't doing so well. So I don't, you know, it's an interesting time because the margins are slim here, and you try to do everything, and there's all kinds of trade talk out there that's probably not going to happen by, what is the deadline, Wednesday?
19th, yeah.
Yeah, so it's probably not going to happen, but you just have to sort of make do. It's an up-and-down league, isn't it?
Well, it is, and you know, the parity in this league, it's such a fine line between winning and losing. But teams are going to have to do something. They've got to make their not only their ownership happy, but first and foremost the fans. And Philly's been struggling. They're up and down. They show some games where they look like they're pulling out of it and they're playing real well, and then they fall back again. And, you know, falling behind Vancouver right now, who's also a very similar team, you know, 200-500, 3-1 in the first period. That's not a good way to start that game out in Vancouver, for sure.
Well, Philadelphia has 28 points. So does New Jersey. Florida, with their win tonight, moves from 28 to 30. These are the bottom feeders in the East. And out West, who would have thought it? St. Louis, Chicago, and Los Angeles in descending order. So St. Louis is 13th, Chicago 14th, and Los Angeles 15th. And all three of them have fired coaches, and nothing happens there.
Yeah, well, Los Angeles is one of those teams that's they're caught in the in-between right now. They're trying to get younger, faster. and play a different style of game and get away from what won them the championships and the Stanley Cups, a bigger, heavier Western team.
Well, the Leafs lose in overtime, 4-3. Monumental comeback in the third. Almost got it done, but not quite. And so they dropped to 1-2-2 their last five. Thanks for joining us on Leafs Game Night. TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and good night to the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network.